Well, thank the Lord again for having another day to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, with the time that we have left here, thankful very much for Paul reading those scripture verses. You know, and the title of this message is that all continue as one accord. And I'm reminded of my friend, Dr. Jerry Harmon, who we grew up in the Lord together. He's visiting Paul Bunyan's church in England right now, and actually he had the opportunity to preach there this morning. And so I'm very thankful that when it comes to being in one accord, doesn't matter if we're in England or if we're here in Oconomowoc, wherever, we are in one accord. Apparently in Acts, they were in one accord in prayer. We also see that they were in accord in one place, in accord daily worshiping the Lord's Supper, according in obedience, and according to the business meeting that they had in Acts, and as well as according that needed to glorify God. And that's what we want to do here today. My main scripture verse is coming out of Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. And it says, "These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication." And the idea of supplication means to humble yourself, and the side of the Lord, and he will lift us up. Pride goes before destruction and a fall. But we need to keep ourselves humble before the Lord if we're ever going to be used of God. And of course, four fingers are pointing at me, and I'm not into the pointing business. I'm here doing this in love. And, you know, if we have a tendency to do this in the spirit of Christ, we will get places. But these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. There were about 120 at that time. And they were waiting upon the Lord. You know, today we need to, as my introduction here, they were all waiting. And of course, they're waiting for the Lord's return. We'll look at that in a minute. But sometimes people today, as we have it, wait impatiently. I'm one of them too. You know, I'm like, come on, let's giddy up and go. You know, that's my A personality kicking in, you know, fussing at the Lord because he hasn't done anything. We get nervous about things too, get kind of sweaty and nervous, being anxious about the outcome or complaining, grumbling at the Lord for his lack of response. Why hasn't done yet? Come on, God, I have a schedule. And then, of course, questioning, doubting that God's judgment is right. Oh, I'd do a better job than you, God, you know, excuse me. You know, frustrated, being annoyed because God isn't working according to our desires. Okay, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us desires of our heart. Very simple as that. God, you first, me second, others second, and me last. Irritated because aggravated by seeming the inactivity. Nothing's getting done. What's going on? You know? Miserable, feeling that God is withholding something from us. But how should we wait upon the Lord? Patiently. It says here in Psalms 41:3, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he enchanted to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, and a song in praise of our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord." You know, when I was talking to Brian Tuesday, came right out of his mouth, he goes, "Pray for my son. He's walked away from God." And I said, "Well, you know what? I've never met Brian before. I talked to him on the phone a few times. And, you know, he just came out of the hospital and he looks great, praise God." But he was like, "Oh, he's hurting." And I'm like, "I'm hurting too, because I have a son that's walked away from the Lord too." And sometimes we just have to be patient and let the Lord work in our son's lives. So much that we had in common. Brian and I were like brothers we never met before. You know, you ever met somebody you never met before and you're like, you know, that person could be my brother or my sister. That's the way it should be in Christendom. Quietly, how can we wait on the Lord? "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in him." Psalms 62:5. So as we see, "Be still and know that I am the Lord. How many times we had peace and quiet and say, God, you're God. And then a peace comes across us that passes all understanding. It doesn't matter if we're not even prepared to do what we need to do. And God's saying, I got this. Let the Spirit flow. Let it work out. Just like these apostles, they had to wait on the Lord because, you know, they were going to answer about the Lord's return. We're going to look at, and also in prayer and supplication, waiting for a lot to fall. We'll look at that. That's where we get our word lottery by chance. But I'll look at the historical facts here in a minute. Trusting, waiting isn't passive resignation, but an act of trust in God that allows us to rest in Him and wait patiently. So trusting Him sometimes is easier said than done. Expectantly. I would have, in Psalms 23:13, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Sometimes we have to see things to believe them. Sometimes we learn better through visual than we do with audio. And sometimes it's just better off. There's different ways to learn. But to learn the ways of the Lord is the best thing, and that is to read His Word and let the Spirit flow. Courageously, also, what are some of the ways we should wait on the Lord? Wait on the Lord in Psalms 27:14, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on the Lord. Sometimes we're just a step away. We're a breath away. We're just a prayer away from God answering our prayer. And then we recede back. And then we become displaced. And then we become discouraged. And then all the wrong things start happening in our lives because we're not taking that final step. And God's, come on, I got it right here. Grab my hand. Let me pull you in. And God is getting our attention, and we're just like, well, I don't know, Lord. We're timid. I can't do this. God's saying, I can do it if you let me. But these are things we have to learn every day, especially me. And how should we wait on the Lord? Standing on God's word, Psalms 130, verse 5. I wait for my Lord, and my soul does wait, and His word do I hope. So we wait upon the Lord. And you know what? When it's time, God will get us going. And so this morning, we're going to be looking here at Acts chapter 1 in verses 9 through 12, waiting on the Lord's return. In verses 9 through 12, it says, and when He had spoken these things, that's Jesus, while they beheld, He was taken up in a cloud and received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as they went up, behold, two men by them in white apparel said, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why ye stand up gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. We look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. We turn over there real quickly. It says here that, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and also which pierce Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. This is happening at the end of the tribulation period. This is called the second advent. We have the first advent is when Jesus came as a baby. Then we have, going through church history, at the very end of the church period, we have known as what is the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We have that going on. And it says here, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, but that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep, Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that which we are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then which are alive shall remain, be caught up together in the clouds to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him. So that is the rapture that's going to take place. It could happen at any time, even in church this morning. Absent from the body, present from the Lord. We'll be there with Him. And then we see it also in, you know, going back in the Old Testament with the second advent in Zechariah. Zechariah had prophesied about the second advent happening because, as we see that this prophet from the Spirit of the Lord said in verse 4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives," which is about a half day's journey from Jerusalem. And to keep in mind, too, the disciples were in Jerusalem at that time. They were in the upper room, and they were waiting upon the Lord for the Spirit of God to come upon them. And yet they were told by Christ to wait in Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives is about a half day's walk out there. And the Mount of Olives is about 200 feet up from the higher than Jerusalem is. Christ is going to come back at the second advent. And he's going to come here to earth. And he's going to defend Israel because of all the armies that are gathering around. And we see in Bible prophecies, it's happening. Do not be discouraged, my brethren. So because of bad things are happening, God's got to bring everything into fruition. God's got a timetable. Do not be discouraged. Be encouraged, especially in our country today, with all things seem like they're just backwards. Not going forward, we're going backwards. So God has a plan. The church has got to stay strong. The church has got to be together in one accord like they were here. And his feet shall stand in that day, Zechariah 14:4, upon the Mount of Olives, and which is before Jerusalem, and the east of the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south, and so on and so forth. There's going to be a geographical change when Christ comes back. The armies against Israel will be terrified. And they'll run. They will run. They will try also to fight back. And of course, as you know, the Armageddon, the Valley of Armageddon there will be filled up with blood up to the horse's reins. Okay? And so it'd be a very traumatic time. But getting back here to Acts, the two angels are standing there. Say, "What are you men gazing at?" They had the idea of gaze is they're watching Jesus so they couldn't see him anymore. But they believed he was there and he was coming back. Amen. Is that what we're doing today? We're waiting to see with the Lord coming back. But yes, we have business to do. God's saying we have business to do. God is saying we have work to do. God is saying we need to be praying. We need to be holding in one accord. And we need to be trusting the Lord. And, God has each one of us work to do. And I'm very thankful for faithful ones here this morning. So, verse 11 said, "Which said also, ye men Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come back in like manner. So have you seen him go into heaven?" And then we see here in verses 12 through 22, they're waiting for prayer and supplication. So they're waiting. And when Jesus left, I believe he was around there at the Mount of Olives at the time. They walked back to Jerusalem, went back to the upper room, were waiting. Okay, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come, and they went up to the upper room, and they abode with Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And in those days, verse 15, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. And right there, you have both women and you have men that were waiting upon the Lord. Say, where did these 120 come from, Pastor? Well, they came from the time of John the Baptist's ministry. Remember, he came and he was baptizing people looking forward to the Messiah coming. He says, "I'm looking forward to this." You know something here with the Islamic religion, Mahadid, what they believe is that their Christ is coming. It's interesting, if you study the book of Quran, which I'm not going to talk much about at all, they look forward to the Mahadi, to their Christ coming. They will be the complete opposite, just like the Antifa, which we know one of our relatives is involved in that in California, unfortunately. But they believe that the right is wrong and the wrong is right, like it says in Isaiah chapter 5. And these are people that are so twisted and wrong that they tell the truth a lie and the lies the truth. And so in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number together were about 120. So they were waiting at the time. Remember, it was 40 days that Jesus, since he resurrected. It was another 10 days that they had waited there in the upper room. And the men and women that the scripture must needs have been fulfilled by the Holy Ghost. Our emphasis is with the Holy Spirit. By the mouth of David spoke concerning Judas, which was to guide them, and took Jesus. Believe it or not, with 30 pieces of silver is about $400. That's not much. How low people can get in their sinful ways is beyond me. You know, I learned a long time ago what I think about people is when I get behind closed doors and I, you know, talk about things. That shows who I really am. And then I realized I got on my knees and I had to get things right. I was like, Lord, I'm just wrong, okay? And yet Judas had gotten that low. He was the treasurer, and yet he was trusted. Sometimes we have people we trust in our lives, and I'm saying this through the Spirit of God, that really disappoint us. It'll really let us down and really feel bad for them because they turned on us. And how you know, that devil really knows how to twist people's lives. And it says, and then David before concerning Judas, which was to guide them and took Jesus. It was prophesied in Psalms that through the Holy Spirit, through what David had to say, that there would be another apostle. Yes, there'd be somebody taking place for that group there. And sometimes God has replacements for us, and sometimes he doesn't. But you know, the best replacement I've learned in my life is Jesus in my life. That's all, the only replacement I need. Verse 17, that he was numbered with us and obtained part of the ministry. Now this man purchased a field and reward of iniquity, and following headlong, he burst asunder in the midst of the bowels and gushed out. You know, he's referring to Judas. Judas committed suicide. He realized he messed up big time because of his greedy. He was a greedy man, and he was a very sad man. And yet he thought he was, you know, out ahead of everybody. Remember when Jesus went out with in the garden after he had prayed, and it was early in the morning. You know, I could just imagine being a disciple, being exhausted. And yet, you know, you had Judas made a deal with the high priest. He says, yeah, let's go on out and, you know, we'll meet. And, you know, I'll point to you who Jesus is. And he did that. He betrayed our Savior. And yet then when he was paid his 30 pieces of silver, he realized he did wrong. And Satan had entered into him. Remember at the Lord's Supper before that? And, you know, it's just a horrible situation. But anyway, the potter's field is the idea of where we make clay pots and all. It was the best place to go to make pots and so on and so forth. And, you know, he was paid the 30 pieces of silver. He came back. He threw it before the priest. He says, you take it. I've betrayed innocent blood. And then what did the priest do? They went out and bought the potter's field, the field of blood. And so, you know, potter's fields were known back in the early 19th century as people that were too poor to go ahead. Criminals, homeless people would be buried in a potter's field. They don't have that anymore. You know, I'm seeing vets, because I'm a vet myself, and we have some vets here, that, you know, the military will try to take care of them. And even the state will try to take care of people that are too poor to, you know, have a burial place there. And so, and it says that he fell headlong. They believe when he committed suicide, he fell down and his bowels gushed out. Obviously, those are your innards there, okay? And he died a very horrible death, okay? And so with that being said about Judas, we got to be careful. There are Judases out there today. We got to be careful about that. And it was known unto the dwellers in Jerusalem, so much the field is called in proper tongue, Asiliadema, which is to say the field of blood. Verse 20, and it is written in the book of Psalms, and let the habitation be desolate, so that no man dwell therein, and his bishoruk let another take. And so we see here that there was a time that you had that the apostles got together. And they were praying because Judas was dead now. They needed somebody else to take the place. And I know that sometimes it takes a long time to take somebody's place. There are people that you can never fill somebody else's shoes. There's people that leave because they're saying, this isn't the same person. This isn't fair, so I'm going to leave. No, I think that you should give a person a chance to prove themselves. And so verse 21 says, and wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time, the Lord Jesus, in and out and among us. And beginning from the baptism of John into the same day it was taken up from much one be ordained to be witness of the resurrection. So they needed somebody to take the place. They needed somebody who recognized who was there. It was out of the 120 that knew Jesus Christ, understood, saw his resurrection, saw him come back in those 40 days. Apostle means a sent one. We all are sent in one way or another in life. So he must be one ordained to be witness with us in his resurrection. And then we see here in that they had prayed. And when they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of men, show whether these two be hath chosen. And then, so they prayed and they asked God for direction. You know, we need to pray too. We have the Holy Spirit that gives us direction in what we should do. And as we're waiting upon the Lord, so they're looking forward to number one to come back. But they knew they had to go about their father's, the Lord's business. And number two, they waited upon with these two individuals. Now, which one is it going to be? Now, you have to remember, before the Holy Spirit came, remember, the Holy Spirit came and went through the Old Testament, okay? And actually, it did not actually come until Pentecost to dwell within believers, okay? And so at this time, they had to draw lots. As we look here, they waited for the lot to fall. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, Thou knowest the hearts of all men. Show thee these two that Thou hast chosen. So they honored God. They're saying, Lord, we want to honor you. It's not man, it's the Lord. And that he may take part in the ministry of apostleship, which was from Judas by transgressions fell, that he might go to his own place. We all know that Judas went to hell. He went to his own place because hell is a place for people who reject God. I would not want anybody, I know even in my right mind, that would want anybody to go to hell in the first place. And yet that's a place that people choose. Remember, they choose to go there. So please be not discouraged with loved ones and all who walked away from God, who have apostatized, walked away. Like we're looking at Jeremiah Wednesday nights, you know, that poor prophet was just like, oh my goodness, these people don't want to hear about God. They don't want to talk about God. They want to run back to the temple there in Solomon's temple and say, we got the temple, you know, we're going to be okay. We can worship our own gods, the Phoenician gods and the Assyrian gods with Jehovah God. Unfortunately, we have people in churches that worship gods along with the God of the Bible. And yet the word demon has the idea of wise ones. There are ones that are deceptive, evil, and wrong, and they are against us. But they will look all good all the time. We need to have discernment in that we have the Word of God. That's good enough for us. Amen. So that he fell in his own place. Verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So you have, who is this? Matthias? Well, he was called by the Lord, and that made the 12. But these lots were stones. Now, there is an argument between stones with numbers or letters on them. And what they would do is they'd throw them out, and they would take it from there. Or they would have sticks, and they would, you know, have the sticks, and they would pull sticks. And which one would have the shortest one? Well, that would be the one. Or who would have the longest one? That is where we get our word lottery. Okay, and of course, I'm not at all telling anybody here you should go out and gamble. Don't do that, okay? It's just a big no-no, because you're tempting the Lord thy God. That's God's conviction on my heart years ago. You're tempting him with what? Say, that's my money. No, it's God's money. Say, no, that's my house. No, that's God's house. No, this is my body. No, that's God's body. It's God. It all belongs to the Lord. Yet God has had to speak to me at these times in the past about that. You know, so there was that. They gave out the lots. And God answered prayer. God answers prayer in our lives. The road may be long, but my Savior is strong. You know that song? And he holds my hand. He holds our hand. Even when, you know, it seems like we can't take another step, another breath, you know, another prayer. And God's just right there for us to pull us in. He says, I love you. He gives us a big hug. He says, I love you. You know. But we got to remember, as a church, we need to stay together as one accord. You start getting frustrated and upset and tired, you know, go to the Lord. Give me a call. Talk to me. You know, that's what I'm here for. I want to help you. I will try to call every one of you. And I will try, even if you want to, I will come and visit you. And if you want to, I will send you a card or whatever I can do to help. But remember, you're not alone. We live in a society today where everybody lives in their own house, pardon me for saying this, and everybody's got their own little TV set and their own little car and their own little thing, and they live in their own little world. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. Remember, we have people that we are one accord with, that we're accountable to, that we want to help. Say, I've been hurt. A lot of people don't come to church anymore because they have been hurt. I've met so many people over the years, they don't ever want to come back. They will make up any excuse. Are you kidding me? You know, and I'm like, no, I'm not kidding you. You know, you need to love. What's that? I said, you can't, not human love, but it's God's love. Big difference. Love thinks no evil. 1 Corinthians 13, no wrong. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. Thinks not wrong of his neighbors or his loved ones. So we got to just bring it in. But I wanted to encourage everybody here this morning that we need to be of one accord. We need to wait upon him. You know, I'm just very thankful for what God has done in our lives and what he's going to do. God has so much he wants to do for us. You look at every day we change our clothes and we look at it a new day, and you know, it's different from yesterday. You know, and that's, just think about what God can do. So we need to wait upon the Lord for his return, but get busy. We also need to be waiting on the Lord in prayer and supplication, being humble and going to him in prayer. Because sometimes just looking all nice on the outside don't cut it, right? Amen. When you think like, oh, that person's so smart, or that lady has just got it all together, you know, personality and everything. But, you know, God looks at the heart. Amen. He looks at the heart. Thank God that we have people here that are very much an encouragement. They can't stop from just getting all bubbly and happy around people here, because people are beautiful in that sense. When God is present, it's wonderful. People are beautiful. You're wonderful. And then waiting for the lot to fall, I call it for waiting for God's will. God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do today. And whatever plan you got planned today, I got that. You just look back at this past week, and if you can remember that much, if you got a diary or something you can write down things every day, you'd be like, oh, goodness, some people say, I can't do that because I'm so busy. You know, it's good being busy for the right things. And God's got the right things for us to do. We need to love and be patient with one another and encourage one another. Because I know every one of you wants to be ready when the Savior comes back. And there'll be times when we disappoint him. But I think God oversees a lot of it. I think through love covers a multitude of sins. I think, you know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, you know. And say, you know, I'm earthly bound, but I'm heaven driven. And I got work to do, and I'm going to do it with all my strength. See, let me encourage you here this morning. You see somebody needs help or somebody, you know, hey, see if you can do to help them out. I would love to have some people here and say, Pastor, I would like to go out door-to-door visitation. What happened? What happened to a lot of churches? They don't do that anymore. You know, it's hard for me to go by myself. My wife and I will go out at times. But sometimes, you know, if ladies, you want to get together and go out visitation, just an evening. So let's go out visitation. Let's have some fun, you know, share Jesus. It, you know, some of the biggest blessings doing that. And I know last week I talked about 79% of the people who come to church, and we'll close with this, actually know a friend or a neighbor or something like that, get them to church. But sometimes cold calls, as I call them, you know, just knocking on the door, who are you? Oh, hi, I just want to tell you about the Lord. And I've had one person tell me not long ago, they said, you know, I was praying that somebody would come along, but I was too shy to go ahead and talk about it, you know. And I'm like, oh, neat. So we stood out there talking for about 10 or 15 minutes about the Lord. It wasn't worried about if I was a JW or a Mormon or something like that, a false prophet. They just wanted to talk. Some people just want to talk. So, you know, we got a lot of lonely people out there, a lot of lonely people. And they just need to be, you know, given that verbal, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, some people are touchy people. Other people are verbal people. There are different kinds of love languages that we all have. And so we need to be loved. But we need to work together as one accord. We need to do that. Okay. And husbands, wives, if you're single, you're getting older, you know, whatever, whoever you are, you know, God's there with you. He's got you all the way. He's got you, your hand. So I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, I'm done what I need to say. I believe that's what you wanted me to say. Thank you for the hours of preparation I had into this. I thank you for the musicians that spent countless hours practicing during the week to make it right. I thank you for the congregation here. People spent countless hours in prayer and Bible study and encouraging, calling one another, encouraging one another. I thank you for Wednesday nights that were getting that going, Lord, with Jeremiah, realizing we're all Jeremiahs, you know. We've all been called to a call before we were born, Lord. We all have a calling. Lord, we just want to be able to put it all together, put all the pieces together and see the picture. And we thank you, Lord, that you can make it happen and you can put the pieces together in our lives. Help us to rub off one another and to love and to good works, to encourage one another. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. God, we thank you for King David's Spirit, Lord, as he prophesied years ago in Psalms that, you know, there would be another apostle that would take Judas's place, Lord. There'd be a change. There were many things that were prophesied. And Lord, we thank you that it's 100% truth. Anything other than a prophecy is not 100% right. It's of the devil. Lord, we just pray that we will wear our armor today and we'll get up and be onward Christian soldiers. That means we have a task to go on. And you've given us a purpose. We thank you that these bodies belong to you. The church belongs to you. And we thank you that what we own belongs to you. And thank you that you've given us the freedom of free will, a choice to do as you've laid on our hearts to do. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you guide us and direct us. We pray that for salvation, God, if somebody here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior has not made that choice, that they will make that choice. If you're not sure, come talk to me about it, and I'd be happy to reassure you in your salvation or if you need salvation. And other than that, Lord, if there's sin in our lives, Lord, we just pray that through the blood that we will get that covered, and we will confess it, forsake it, and do a roundabout, a turnabout, and walk away from it. And just pray, God, that you would just continue to bless us, encourage us. Thank you for the week coming up. We're excited. You have many good things, many blessings ahead for us, many things to look forward to. And we're looking forward to you coming back because our time is short. Help us to use the time wisely, redeem it, Lord, as we're putting a treasure into heaven. Help us continue to put our lives for investment into heaven, for eternal things. For these things are just passing away. Everything will pass away. And thank you for the behold, all things become new in the future, Lord. And we thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that you're coming back for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.